Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
This morning I want to teach on a very important subject, and that is how to keep your estate. How to keep your estate. Now this teaching, I believe, is going to form a very important basis for believers, ministers of the gospel, who seek to finish well in their endeavors. And there are very important principles you will learn. Are you with me now? Now let's turn our Bibles to the book of Jude, verse 6. Jude, verse 6. Alright. Said the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has been served in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Can we read it together? Jude chapter number 1, verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, had he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Alright, so here the Bible is referring to the angels that fell because they got carried away. Is that okay? Angels looked from heaven and saw women and lusted after them. And they gave birth to a generation of giants. So what I want to teach you this morning is, how do you live in a way that your lot is preserved? Let me explain. As I caught the hunger to seek God uniquely on campus, one of the things that what I'm trying to show you is that as I began to press into God, one of the first discouraging factors is to look around and see people who began well but now have lost it. Sometimes probably you see ministers every time on social media, they are dragging them. This one has fornicated, this one has committed adultery, this one is sleeping with members. But you wonder, there was a time these guys were fine. Okay? You know what I'm about to teach you this morning. So what happened to their portion? What changed? What happened to them? At what point did it happen? What shifted in their lives? Where is the portion God gave to them before the world began? Because this is one of the very important subjects you must learn. Have you ever sat down and wondered and said, God, before you take me too far, ensure I finish well? If you have not prayed that prayer, then you've not prayed to a point that, God, I'm ready for you to stop if you cannot show me the secret of finishing well. I'm okay. I will live an obscure life and I will come to church and seek you. But don't take me too far only to drop. Are you with me? So how do you keep your estate? If angels can fall, how can you not fall? Let me show you one more scripture. The book of Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1. Please follow me. Please follow me. Acts 1. We'll start the reading from verse 16. Acts 1:16. Now let's start from verse 15 so you can understand the context of that word. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, now you see what this there is in bracket, meaning that it was not in the original, just giving us the number of disciples, there 120. So he stopped in the midst of 120 people, which, alright, and said, men and brethren, this scripture must need be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them which took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers of Jerusalem, in so much as the field is called in their proper tongue Alkadema, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric another take. This is not a serious thing. That the man who walked with Jesus, who ate with him, and lived in the same house, now he now became a man that concerning him, it is written, let his habitation be desolate. Let his bishopric. What that means is the mantle of his calling, let another man take it. That is the divine supply of that which he's supposed to do with his life. Let another man be endowed with it. I read this scripture and I began to ask myself, maybe Judas, if he had known, he would never have sold his bishopric for 30 pieces of silver. Whatsoever it was then, I think in contemporary money, should be, I can't remember again the calculation, but I know it's not up to 20,000. Alright? He said, let his bishopric, another man take. Another word there is that he was numbered with us. Hold on though. I can't guarantee how you last, but I can teach you how to last. Because lasting will be a function of what you have decided. Is that clear? Follow what I'm saying. How is it that those who have sat in a ministry, been a part of all the major things that God has done, sometimes even from the onset, how do men journey to a point where what is now written is they were once numbered amongst us? And when you pick old pictures, you say, this person. Okay. Falling away, is this something that is going to come to all, that must come to all one by one, or can it be avoided? Are there wisdom principles that once you have it, you can actually last, and you actually don't have to fall away? Quote me anyway. Nobody has to. You don't have to have track record in your life that I was in this ministry, I was offended, I left. I was in this ministry, I was offended, I left. I was in this. They didn't treat me well, they said this. Because the same thing you are complaining about trained others. Are you following what I'm saying? I want to take you on a journey. So, because when the Bible said that God set the solitary in families, he went on to say that the rebellious will dwell where? In dry land. So it means that the family that God set the solitary is actually an estate. That is a place that is filled with God's pleasantries and God's goodness. The reason why the Bible said the rebellious will dwell in dry land is because where God set the solitary in a family that is not dry. Are you following what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying. It means when God plants you in a family, there are certain things that are your inheritance. I told my wife this morning, I saw a picture online. Let me just say this. I saw the picture of Pastor Isaac, Nunsi Oyekan, David Oedepo Jr., Bakare, and a few of them. Yesterday was David Oedepo Jr.'s birthday. All right? Now hear what I'm saying. These are people, are you following what I'm saying? I just saw the picture. I said, the children of men who kept their assignment will find it easier in ministry than those of us who have to start from the scratch. If you will investigate the generation of their fathers, there were many of them who started. But some got a better job and left ministry. How do God call you and you can find something better? Because hear what I'm saying. Sometimes I look at it. Let me give you an instance now. I want to say a lot of things, so I'm careful. Between 2 years now, I had to make a conscious decision to transition from itinerant ministry plus church and sit down. Are you following what I'm saying there? A body of knowledge informs that. All right, itinerant ministry this month alone, maybe you will see me once. I'm everywhere blessing the body of Christ. But that decision put a form of constraint. Are you following what I'm saying here? I'm doing itinerant ministry, I should sit there in church. I'm going different, they are booking flight. I get down, they are waiting, cars are waiting, security guys, apostle welcome. But I have to sit down here. Are you following what I'm saying? I get to my office there, sit down on my plastic chair, put my wooden bench in front of me, study. Alright? What are you doing? You are building something. If you compare yourself at that point with those who are flying everywhere, you think you are failing. There is something precious about what God has committed to your hands. If you discern it, you will preserve it. If you don't, you will lose it. Because hear what I'm saying? The reason why you make certain decisions to throw certain things away is because you have not seen it in the place of prayer. Are you following what I'm saying here? So how do people get to the point where there seems to be nothing anybody can do to get them restored? Sometimes you will even see it as bad as a man of God. One who was once on fire, who preached and scattered campus, now just wake up one day and say his wife is not fine. And say, I don't like the way my wife dress. I think I need somebody who dress better. And the guy will change the wife and there's nothing anybody can do. How do people get to the point where what was once fresh in their hands have become stale? The things you used to be passionate about, let's go to church, let's do this. Now you are the one saying, we church, forget about church. How do people get to that point where we say that they were once numbered amongst us, but now it's bishopric? Let another take. How do people get to that point? Is it something that we are all doomed to fall into, so we just relax? Or because if we say we're all doomed to fall, I mean, there are people who have the track record now. They have been serving God for 50, 60 years, and they are still fresh. You go to ministry, they'll tell you, this fellow began with us 60 years ago, and they are still here. Still as convinced as they were, as serving, are you following what I'm saying now? Still the same spirit. How do I preserve my estate? What is the guarantee that I will not be the man that will start running after? Because the man who used to hold the mic to preach is now holding the bottle of beer. How can my lot be maintained? So I want to show you five things that the devil will fight. That, listen, he will try to fight these five things. Alright, the moment he does, you'll be down. So the devil wants to steal a man's estate, he wants to collect a man's bishopric. Here are five things that the devil will need to destroy. Number one, the devil will need to destroy quality relationships that bring checks and balances in your life. That is just like the friends of Job came. Alright, and some began to speak out of their own folly, and then others began to speak from the wisdom and counsel of God. You hear what I'm saying? The higher you go, the more the devil wants to convince you that you are past the level of certain friends. Meanwhile, that relationship is a structure that the Lord has mounted around your life so that you can always remember where God picked you up from. And because there were people who knew you the way you started, they knew the days you were drinking Gary without sugar. They knew the way you were trekking together for meetings before car came. If days ever come that you say, I can't go to church, these friends will say, this was not the way we started. They know the way you were pursuing the person you married before she gave you a yes. If you now turn and say she's not beautiful, they can restrain you and say, this was not the way we started. They know the consecration that bettered you in campus days. God planted you around each other. Sometimes when you want to make mistake and you are talking with a lady for too long in your room, they will show up. But now the devil has seen that, okay, we cannot successfully destroy him because so and so surveillance and defense is mounted around him. The devil will give you every reason possible as to why that friendship is not needed for your new friends. As you bring it down, one of the strands that is holding you is gone. Are you following what I'm saying? Because what you think is happening, that is growth, that is telling you that some friends who are not in your level, because they are not using the kind of car you are using, so it's time to cut them off. That thing you call growth is actually a journey to assassination. So when the devil sees that there are people in your life that you check and balance each other, he's going to find a way to fight it. Maybe you even have gone a step further. When you and those friends now have days that you pray, go and check. Relationships don't get threatened until they begin to pray. The moment there are friends who have a fixed schedule of prayer, that individual that misses it always is the first the devil will take successfully. And he will do it. Because all it takes for him to do it is to miss what God is saying per time. He will not have the configuration that will sustain him. He will make decisions that the configuration should have destroyed. He will. So check. And that's why I'm very keen. I would prefer that people are not praying together than to start and one individual begins to give excuse. Meanwhile, those excuses may look very genuine, but they are the reason why the person will be out. So the devil fights relationship that jeers and points men towards God. I remember one time, one of my friends, all of us were still single. I went to greet him in his house. I had a meeting in that state. And I saw his fiancée in the house. Okay. 6 p.m. 6:30. I said, okay, what was the plan? So actually, they have a conversation overnight. Conversation. No problem. 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, they were talking in the sitting room. They laid down. I carried my pillow from the room. Went in the midst of the both of them. Put the pillow down. Separated them. Lied down between. He wanted to cry. And you see, I'm busy. They were trying to talk. I said, oh boy. It's time to go and sleep. And guess what? We are sleeping in the same room. We are going to sleep in the same room. You are not, the conversation is over. If I didn't come, so you'll have conversed overnight. So we are going to sleep in the same room. Enough is enough. Oh yeah? Oh yeah, you too. It's late. We can't send you anywhere, so go to your. You are not married, so we can deal with you. So we slept in the same room. On their wedding day, he came to meet me. He said, if you did not come that day, our testimony would have been spoiled. You see, that thing that fight those who are not allowing you do what you want to do, that will make you curse them and say, get out of my life. The level of viciousness you are extending towards them is actually in greater proportion towards your own destiny. That once there's somebody who can stop you from doing the, are you following what I'm saying? Do you have friends that you can tell that I searched my heart and I found lust? Do you have friends that you can say, oh boy, come and help me? Do you have friends that the way they love their wives help you love your wife better? Do you have friends that the way they love God help you love God better? Do you have friends that can ask you, when was the last time you prayed? Do you have friends that can look at you and tell you that there is something about your life that has gone down? There is an hem of glory around that. Or the devil has helped you to use your character to push all of them out. Each time you are pushing them is a lifeline that is going. And those of you who belong to cycles of prayers that you will not attend to, you are not the busiest. You are just the scapegoat. You are. And don't wait till life show you. Don't wait till life shows you. Last year or 2 years ago, I can't remember, I went to function as best man for one of my friends on campus. Now, most of the friends I have now, I began either by pastoring them or leading them. But somewhere along the line, I saw that brothers, better to be friends. Because the beginning ministry early can give you an impression that you're a boss. And now you no longer see reason to have any friend. Everybody is your son and daughter. So I went to be his best man. And it was an amazing setting. There was nowhere to sleep. It was somebody's living room. I just had to beg, can you allow me just personally, if you want to join me, you can. I was his best man. So I said, can I just get a place? I don't compromise my health. Yes. People came around, they were shocked. I think this should be last year. Apostle Lazarus came for this wedding. The place where we did the wedding was with third front, like palm front. That's where we did the wedding. But I know that this relationship, it may not be as pronounced out there, but it is an economy of God's preservation. You need people that can remember how you were and remind you, because you can forget. You can see a woman in labor room crying. my husband, this is the last child. A month, 2 months after the baby. So I say, Alpha, what happened? They've forgotten. Let me say this to you. Even the pain of your fall is not enough to remind you to stay right. You can forget. The pain of your fall is not powerful enough to him. You think scars are powerful than the economy that God planted naturally around you? What I'm telling you is that they can drag you on the street naked and say you stole. And a year after, you are stealing again. But there's something more powerful to remind you. That's the economy of heavenly, divinely invested cacos that God has planted around your life. And many believers are living a very dangerous, lonely life because nobody should know. Why have friends you can't trust? One of my spiritual daughters called me and said, Apostle, please, can you pray for somebody? Fellow just died now, this. I said, all right, let's agree in prayer. I began to pray. After a while, I said, who is this fellow? He said, so. He said, it's a friend to my friend. I called my friend. Where are you? He said, are you driving? He said, okay, I will tell you what I'll tell you when you are parked. He said, tell me now. I said, he's a very persuasive person. So I said, okay. So-and-so person is dead. What happened? This. He did something that shook me. He said one day, the person posted on his WhatsApp status, if I die now, do I have friends that can raise me from the dead? Meanwhile, a balance to that. There are certain things that when you begin to hear out, it's because a process has started. Okay? So he said, he asked that question. That day I called him, he was tired. He said, I'm journeying now to where the person died. He said, because that day I responded to the WhatsApp chat and said, I will. I with what I know, I preferred he had said, you won't die. So he went there. And he spent time laboring in prayers for him. I'm not going to die now. But I took note of him. This is a friend. I remember when my wife was going to give birth to her daughter. We were together at night at the hospital. Myself, himself, his wife. We slept inside the car. The wife slept at the back. I slept at the driver's seat. He sat at the seat, slept at the seat in front. It was not compulsory, but I noted it. That sometimes you may boast about friends that are prestigious, but there are friends that are preserving. Some friends fit you, but some friends preserve you. Some friends, the picture, everybody will say, the body of Christ is united. But some friends get the job done. Don't do picture perfect friendship. The friendship that boosts your ego and let people make you feel important. That social and so person is your friend. Anybody you can do 2 weeks, 1 month, and you don't talk, you are not friends. You may be acquaintances or brothers, but that is not friendship. All right? So the devil has noticed that even if you want to go insane, the people around you will not allow. So he's going to give every reason why that relationship must not survive. And the reasons will make sense. They will. I said the reasons will make friends. They will make what? Sense. And as I'm talking, some of you want to check that. What are the friendship that you have lost? I don't have time to go into many, many things as touching that. Number two. The devil will seek to destroy your connection to the voice of authority and accountability. He will try to make sure, and by that I'm not saying that he's going to make sure you don't have leaders. No, it doesn't have to do that because it's not up to you alone. But he's going to make sure that your connection is destroyed. Are you with me? Look at me, everybody. There is no leader anywhere that if you want to find reasons to leave, you will not see reasons. There is none. Are you sure what I'm saying? But here is the deal. All right. I remember One time I offended my wife. I mean, I've been doing it. But the final straw that broke the camel's back, it was intentional. I was going to leave the room and I said, let me make this woman angry. I don't know what happened. So I said something. And I knew that there's fire on the mountain. So she called me in the office. And said, I want to report to your spiritual father. Can I go ahead? I said, what's my business with her? Is your father is my father. So what's my business with her? Ended the call. I listed names, my spiritual father and a few mentors. Any day, any time, report me to them. I don't know why she was asking. So she called him. And now it was getting towards evening. And I was preparing for church. So a major meeting was happening the following day. So my spiritual father picked the phone. And said, Emoji. I said, sir. Where are you there? I said, office. You and your wife, be on your way to my house now. Ah, I have to leave Ibadan and travel to Ife around this time. I said, yes, sir, yes, sir. So I called her. So, you see what you have caused. They've called us. Let's go. So before she would dress up, about 1 hour has gone, came to church already it was. Now, I personally like to sit in front of the car so I can walk on those who are driving. One, so they don't slip off. Then two, they can drive well. Okay? So as we got to his house, he noticed I was seated in front. Then my wife was at the back. So he said, where did your wife sit down? I said, at the back. Where did you sit down? I said, in front. He said, it has gotten to that. I said, no, that is how it has always been. Now, if you ask me as an individual, when he gave me the call, I felt it was unnecessary. I felt there's nothing, you can just tell us this thing on phone. It's just, there's no point we coming. But when we got there, I saw it was necessary. We were rescued. And after then, I've not played that kind of play game. Okay? But something happens to you. Listen to what I'm saying. The weight that your leaders have in your life, they are not the ones who determine it. You see, you can talk them down till they are no longer effective and they are just there. You can. And let me say this to you. Your wife that you are talking your father with, that is agreeing with you. Oh, wife, the day your mystery will come, there will be no father to save the both of you. The person you are agreeing with to talk down the cloth of God's covering over the both of you, where your pain will come from is that same source. And in the days of your bedpang, nobody will be able to help you. And that's why we have the Jezebel wife and the Abigail wife. You are Ahab, you are going to take his field. I will help you kill him. I will help you kill him. But if a Naboth decides to be stupid, and Abigail will say, no, not in this house. Because the stupidity will claim the life of all the children. So sometimes I see young people who are married say, hey, nobody can talk to my husband. No, they must. He must be dealt with, and it's for your good. A spiritual father must be able to place him. You know the reason why the revival in Africa has been the most sustained? One of the secrets is accountability. And as we speak now, that accountability is currently being contested for. Because people can get fame without the apostolic pattern. Once it becomes a template for the next generation, they will die and fade away without a voice. Are you following what I'm saying here? I don't just stand and tell my spiritual father I honor him. My wife knows. He has never called to pray for us and I'm standing. I go on my knees. All right? So the devil knows, sir. Sometimes he knows that you are not as strong as you claim to be, but there is somebody praying for you. And it is important they stop. The devil doesn't fight people who make noise. He fights those who get the job done. And sometimes the devil is not fighting you directly, not because you are fine, but because he's busy with those who are covering you. And he's finding every way to bring them down and strip them so you can be exposed. Many of you don't know that it is not you the devil is fighting yet. He needs those who are praying for you to scatter. Then he will pick you like a pinch of salt, and that's the end. So be careful. Okay? Your leaders are a strand of preservation. A very strong one at that. A very strong one. I can't go and meet my spiritual father and say my wife is no longer beautiful. What did you say? So the only way for that to happen is that the devil will have to first make me fatherless. So I can make decisions that could not have been made in the presence of that institution. Shortly after you have cut yourself off, you will journey to the land of the desolate. Very shortly. And I see people who intentionally select leaders who cannot be a voice to know them. Now people come to meet me and say, come up my speech. Honestly, that is the truth. Except the fellow is doing something at a level where the fellow can catch up. It is difficult now for a believer, a young, to just come and say, come up. It is very difficult. Unless the fellow can pursue. My hands are full. I was telling my wife this morning, yeah, it's no longer possible that sons and daughters are having birthday. I call everybody to pray. It's no longer possible. That structure cannot hold water. But in the days I had the time, some didn't value it. Our pastors have their birthday across branches. I have not called anyone to pray. There's no time. Oh, there is no time. So it means now I have to put a lot of the thing, everything I do will have to be a secret letter to you. So you can find in it what God is saying to you per season. We started a new structure. I started releasing yesterday, Moment with Apostle Femi Lazarus. It's a letter. So I begin to answer questions because you can't just sit me down now and say, sir, I want to ask you certain questions, 45 minutes. Ow! 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 The only person I can boast of that can have that length of time with me is my wife. Because more work is coming on every side. I'm in Abuja now, standing here, holding the mic, talking to you one-on-one. It is luxury. That is the truth. Years are coming that it will no longer be possible for us to have this size of meeting. It will no longer be possible. That is the truth. It will no longer be possible. There used to be a time in this ministry, people are having birthday. They say, Pastor, come for my birthday. I'll go there. They ask me questions. I say, what do you know about the celebration? Hey, this is birthday. Birthday. Even my own birthday, I don't successfully read 5 messages. My own. Thank God for all the good things. So some of them, I later stumble on them. Some of them, I go back to them just to check. But there's no time. So now sit down and say, hey, you, today is your birthday. You are blessed. Hey, you, today is your birthday. No time. If my words will have weight in your life, it is because you have made it so. My preaching can become like water. In your ears. And I tell our pastors, I told our resident pastors, the ones who are not growing amongst you will not be able to catch up. I told them. Take it serious. All right. So that's a strand that is holding you. Spiritual leadership and accountability. It will try to destroy it. You see, that same house where you sit down and water down your pastors and talk them down. If only you know what you are doing. If only you know what you are doing. If only you know. You open your mouth. I'm not saying anybody is talking me down. I'm just speaking generally. This is to you and also to the body of Christ. In fact, I don't even have the time to even think such. Do you know why? Because of the quality of what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is how to take the world for Jesus. There used to be a time. Every Sunday I will sit down one after the other counseling. Well, every branch has pastors. And this year I have decided no more counseling for me. Moses was going to die. He will go and seek God. He will do this. He will seek counsel. That's why you have pastors. Sons and daughters, let's look at it, what's going on. But church, how? But you know what I found out? There are a few people that have learned with wisdom to build effective relationships. That no matter how high the cutoff mark gets, they can't be cut off. Because they are wise. Sometimes people just look. Maybe you just see me, sons and daughters, apostle, remove so, so, and so, and so. I believe the essence of spiritual fathering is that the people are listening to what I'm saying. Not this lie will lie. I have countless number of messages from people who call me father. I don't know you. I don't know where you left. I don't know whether on campus you impregnated a girl. And you need a place where you can have clean slates. What about those who dealt with you? Why did you leave them? Why are you here? I don't know you. Some said Apostle is my spiritual father. In my heart. Every year we have practices we do in church. But on my own sons and daughters platform, it is compulsory. Because a father must be able to make you do. I can counsel the church advice. So you watch, January comes, we fast. After the fast, we give first fruit. Some get offended at me. Every year, they're offended. Why will he tell us to give first fruit? When I'm praying and teaching, the apostle is a good man. When I say this is the landmark, this is what we do, and I do it by example. One of my spiritual daughters walked up to me when I traveled to Lagos. And she said, I'm going to give my first fruit to the church this week. I said, okay. We both know how long it took you to get this job. How will you do your transport? I said, you know what? You go ahead and give your first fruit. I think the first fruit was about 250,000. I was going to give her more money. Let me honor this person's faith. God asked me a question. Are you our father? That is, there are caterers to this fathering thing. Leave me to provide. Okay. Go ahead and do your stuff. Does that make that girl less loved? There are certain things God does because he knows you won't survive it. And there are things he does because he knows he has trained you. One is a child, the other is a mature person. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people, if you tell, sit down there, they'll say, I'm out of this church. There are people, if they maltreat their wife, you say, why are you doing that?
Am I not the one that came and said, I'm following you? When I say I'm not doing it again, God. You see, because this nonsense we do, because you feel you can dribble around relationships.
Many people came around my spiritual father around the time I came around him. Some have hurt him and left out of offense. I said, I came here to stay. And I'm going to prove it. People have called me. Well, you should have been under a bigger covering. What's your definition of bigger covering? You mean the body of Christ? People like you, they're doing well. You don't have to. It takes a level of decline to make certain decisions. And it's a journey. It is a journey. It is a journey. Once there's nothing that can compel you, you will complete it unless God restores you. So I'm here with you now in Abuja. There was a time I was at Ife. There was a time I was at Ibadan. It will also be said that there was a time I was in Abuja. That's the truth. But you will notice that those who follow well, as you are rising, they are rising too. Because they must keep up. There are some people who are leaders who have never shown up in church in Lagos. The pastor can't give you assignment. You won't show up. You don't know that pride has entered. See, once pride enters, you cannot detect yourself. Pride is one issue you cannot self-diagnose. What did I say? You cannot diagnose it yourself. It will take another to check you and say, you are falling from an height. You cannot. So the devil is going to fight three things. Number one, your covenant relationship. Number two, your connection to the voice of authority and accountability. Number three, he will fight the sanctity of your marriage. If you are married. If you are not, note this down. He will fight it. He will fight it. He will try to water it down. He will try to give you reasons why your marriage is not as important. It is the demons of your father's house trying to catch up. He will show you others. Listen, I want to say a statement. See, if while you said you were seeking God, you were failing secretly, event will play out in your life that will check if you have a track record. And if you have a track record of secret failure, you will manifest it again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Note what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is that what will keep you married for 40 years is not the love that is shocking you. No, note what I'm saying. Love does not keep marriage. You don't believe. Oh, who told you that after you got married, you will not see somebody you wish you had married? The demons of your father's house will check you out. And the same decisions you hated your parents for, you will be presented with the offer to make it in a more glorious way. The same thing you wish, the way you wish they have served God and have paved way for you, the devil will also give you offer. For you not to pave way for your children. It's going to visit you with spiritual laziness. Some so you can die early and your children will be fatherless. Note what I'm telling you. If you think I'm joking, then you can get up and go. It will fight the sanctity of your marriage. When that happens, you begin to keep secrets from your wife and delete chat. Adultery has started not when you hold another girl, but the moment you start deleting chat. Or the moment your wife cannot read your messages. Okay? I swore to God, I will never have reason to delete any chat. I have not. I will not. Okay? When we want to sleep, we have our side drawers. Our phones are there. Okay?
Many times my wife is up at night sending pictures from my phone to her phone. I don't know why. Doesn't like to take pictures of her own phone. Or the ones I took with Abigail, that's the one she will now send. But it is beautiful. Some men, if they wake up and their wife has gone through their phone, they are dead. If your spouse will see all the info on your phone, will your marriage still stand? That's a very important question. Or your home is now, your phone. See, and many of you believe the doctrine that a woman should not go through her husband's phone. So what are you looking for? And you see, when you are dating a guy who is sharing that kind and saying you should learn, that's a dangerous guy. Two has become one. I said two has become one. I don't really enjoy going through my wife's phone. It's very boring. It's very boring. I don't enjoy it. I'm sorry. I don't enjoy going through her phone. I'm a researcher. If you go through my phone, it's going to keep you busy. Whatever. She feels I have pictures. I save. I screenshot gowns for my wife. I screenshot different things that I think I'm going to do. Inventions, innovations. So she likes to go through. I say, not to begin to screenshot. I say, no, it's your own I like. I thought there's no problem. But that's what marriage is about. That is what marriage is about. If you know the number of married people who can't wait for their spouse to die. How can you, a married man, call another woman baby? How? Baby! How? How? How can you call another girl baby, sweetheart, honey? And some have done it in such a way that the woman did, she dares not talk. You silence your wife, you have silenced your major lifeline. You will die. And that woman will know what it takes for you not to go early, but she can't do it. Many men who failed, their wife could have told them not to fail. So when my wife wants to talk to me and say, I want to tell you something, but I hope you will not misunderstand me, that statement breaks me. I will not misunderstand you. I may, but find courage to keep saying it. I'm very honest. You just make sure, don't look at my eyes. Just keep saying what you have to say. I said because I have to defend myself in case. But I need it. You get what I'm saying now? Tipo, tell me. Are you what I'm saying? You come to church. I don't like the way you, that time you were preaching, you said this. I'm sorry. If I say the next time, I will move away. Well, I remember. My wife has said I should not talk like this again. Though. It helps. Why should two that should chase 10,000 not be reduced to one? That is, you kill the supply that comes from the other person and remain the way you were single. The only thing that has changed now is that you are having free sex. You have watered down all the things you should have not watered down. The devil will try to water down. Number four, he will try to water down your consecration. You are praying too much. You are fasting too much. You are giving too much. You are doing that too much. All right, let me stop here. I've shown you at least four things this morning that the devil will try to fight in your life. Once he does, face flat, down. I want you to bow your head. Some of you know where you are on this ladder. Tell God, oh, help me. Help me. Help me. Pray that prayer. Help me. Help me, oh, whatsoever it will take. Don't let me go down. Don't let me go down. Don't let me go down. In Jesus' name we are praying. Now look up everybody as I leave this place. Be on your feet, everybody. No matter how strong you think you are, One day so, you will get to the end of your strength. You will. I said you will. Events will happen that the only thing that will keep you are the structures that have not collapsed. Okay, now I am face flat now. But so and so will not agree. So and so will ask me how. So and so will regiment me. But left to me, I'm gone. So the devil wants to destroy the so and so. Because he knows, by strength shall no man prevail. Say unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you spotless. I'm going to show you the meaning of that scripture. If I'm going to keep you from drowning, it will take a technology, true? Because many of you just think the Holy Ghost will just, the Holy Ghost will use something to keep you from falling. And you must beware, because even the best amongst us, their strength will be exhausted. And it will take those who are anchored on structures that the Lord has mounted for his beloved to stand. Let me tell you something. If I had a track record of messing up with girls while I was on campus and serving, I would have done it again. The devil will check the track record. The Egyptian you buried, the leg will show out. It will. And you must pray. Particularly if you have anything that you hid. You are not having consciousness of sin. You just know that for that one to go down almost successfully, the devil will tell you many more can go down. For the lack of these things, many that were once numbered amongst us have lost them. And that's why I have no affliction. Those who say I'm their spiritual father, who don't listen to what I teach. It is more important than any other thing. Do you follow my teaching? When I teach on Tuesday, do you follow? When I call for so and so meeting, do you follow? When I call for sons and daughters meeting, do you follow? When we say workers meeting, do you follow? Leaders are having meeting, you say you are busy, do you follow? You'll be the problem because you have stopped following. So, pray. Pray. For many of you, maybe out of these structures I listed, half of it is already gone. You are still saying yes, sir, but in your heart you are detached. There's no one who just detaches in the day. It's just, and meanwhile, people stop following, then begin to say certain things. It's always been there. You are seeing the reason why the event played out. It's always been there. Let me leave the resident pastors to pray for the people and have a wonderful service.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details: 22150052 89 UBA. The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details: 22150052 89 UBA.